Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Aaron is with me on the line today because, Aaron, you sparked an interesting conversation online. You were talking about the role that dads are allowed to take in their children's lives. And this all came about after you applied for child benefit.
Hi, Andrea. Thanks for having me. That is correct. I did apply for child benefits after a conversation we had with some of our friends. Turns out we didn't apply for it in time. So came home, applied, sent the papers in as regular. A week after, I got rejected. The claim got rejected, but not for all the regular reasons, like missing a piece of paper or missing out on a detail. It was rejected because I submitted it with my details as the father of the child. So I was frustrated, and not only by this, but also by all the things that happened to me over the past few years, ever since my daughter started crash in school. I felt like I'm being missed out on purpose by the crash or the public nurse, the GP. Like, everyone seemed to go to my wife by default, even though we specifically asked to reach out to me directly because I'm the only one who tries. So I felt frustrated. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know if this only is happening to me or someone else. So I did what anyone does today's day of age and went to Reddit, posted about my experiences. It turns out there are a couple of hundred of us, actually, even maybe more, who are facing similar challenges currently.
Because that, under the current child benefit regulations, the child benefit payment, it's automatically paid to the child's mother, isn't it?
Yes, that is correct. And I think the core of my issue is less of who's receiving the payment or the child benefit itself. It's rather about discrimination around parenting. So every institution kind of expects the mother to pick up the child or to be the primary contact of a child. And this is a systematic issue, I feel, here in Ireland, where many of the fathers who want to step up, who want to help out at home, who want to share responsibility of the household, are almost not allowed for a couple of reasons. One, due to systematic discrimination, might I even call it sexism, where only women are expected to do some of these activities, but also the social stigma that connects some of the fathers and some of the social circles. Where fathers shouldn't be taking part of some of these duties. So, these are some of the stories as well shared on Reddit.
Yeah, that other people replied on the forum Reddit to your response. So it's not just that you can't receive the payment because you had actually made the application, Aaron, and signed the documents for your child, for the child benefit application. The whole lot was sent back to you. And you were told that your partner basically would have to resubmit it.
Yes, either my partner, the mother of the child, or stepmother of the child should resubmit the application, which obviously we did. And it's a mild inconvenience for us. But many of the fathers actually on the thread shared some incredibly touching stories where the mothers are not reliable or abusive, or they're separated, or they even passed away and they were struggling to get the same child benefit because the government essentially expects only a mother to apply, only to pay for a mother.
So it's only if the child isn't living with the mother, is that right, that the father or guardian can apply for the child benefit?
Yes, that's my understanding currently.
Okay. So your point, it's not really about the fact that you had to resubmit the application. I suppose the essence of what you're saying is that it's only the fact that the mother is able to receive the child benefit on behalf of the child. That's what you have the problem with.
Well, that's on one side of the story, but on the other side of the story, that us fathers who really want to step up for our ladies, our wives, our partners, are almost not allowed in today's society, even though it's almost expected of us. And, you know, the fact that we're left out from these WhatsApp groups, or we're not notified in time, or there's even a level of expectation of the mother that they should do everything, they should stick home and deal with the childcare while the father earns money. So we do have to evolve and change things for the better. And I think it starts at the government layer and then at the schools and institutions as well.
Stay with us, Aaron, if you don't mind. Quite a few people getting in touch about this. Mick is with us on the line. Mick, did you ever experience this kind of pushback?
Hi, Andrea. Yeah, no, I did. Like, I must say, when we were kind of at that early stage as well, and looking at applying, I was very surprised to learn that it was, you know, that the standard was that the mother would apply. I think, like, there are lots of different scenarios, and there are plenty of ways whereby it can be paid to the father, but sort of your basis is that it should go to the mother and the mother should apply. So it wasn't a massive deal for us or anything like that, but it was just a very surprising thing to learn. I think if you talk to people kind of in the legal sphere and so on, they'll tell you that there's a good reason why it was there, in that there were many cases down through the years whereby fathers would have, you know, been brought to court for withholding payments to mothers and things like that. So yeah. But, you know, saying that, it does seem like a very blunt instrument in response to that, to kind of set the standard that the woman should apply. But, yeah, like I say, being honest, in our house, it was never a massive issue. It was more a point of interest than anything else. And what we did was, you know, we set up a joint account for that, and it just goes on there. And, no real problem for us, but just an interesting thing to come up against.
Yeah. The general pushback too that Aaron mentioned, you know, even it might sound like a simple thing, but something as simple as the kind of the collective, the WhatsApp groups and all that goes with that. Did you experience that?
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely. Like, you can see, like my wife, ever since, she must be in about 10 different groups, you know, all throughout our area and everything like that. You know, it's mum's this, mum's that, and no, there is nothing like that there for dads. Now, I mean, saying that, it's up to the dads to set these things up, and we're obviously not very good at doing that. But certainly there is kind of within communities, sort of the mums all gather together that fathers don't necessarily seem to do. And yeah, like, people are surprised. I suppose it's that old thing, you know, if you're walking down the street with my son and my dog, and, you know, and everyone's like, oh, look at him, isn't he great? as if it wasn't the very basis of what I should be doing, you know. So there is this sort of society look at things that they expect the mothers to be doing more than the fathers, certainly.
Yeah. Did you ever experience anything like this, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, generally in society. Hi, Andrea.
How are you?
Good. I think, you know, society needs to catch up, and legally it needs to catch up with what's going around with the parts of Europe and with younger parenting today. I mean, the statistics are 75% of marriages end in divorce. So, I mean, that's a lot of single parents potentially trying to raise children together and have access and have legal rights and status over these children. So I think the idea of single parenting for men and women have to have equal status. And that's with, you know, childcare, that's with time off during pregnancies, etc. I think it just needs to, you know, we need to update ourselves. There are parts of Europe, which I've already mentioned in the past, Scandinavia, which seem to have been adopted a more sort of egalitarian approach to parenting, where you'll see, you know, grown men pushing prams around to, you know, freely in parks, etc., where potentially 20 years previous it would have been only women. So I think our roles, like everything, it's all about roles and identity today. So just things that maybe legally and societally we'll need to catch up with what is actually happening on the street. For example, myself, I do all the cooking at home because I love it, but also I'm very involved with my twin boys in their nutrition and in their well-being, because I know it's something that I've had to live with. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, the traditional roles are changing, and I think, you know, equality for all, I think men can definitely put their hand up now and say, well, you know, fair is fair. We need the responsibility. If you give it to us, we'll take it. And I think men do step up when they're given the responsibility, though that men have traditionally stood up. So I think the state reluctantly just sort of kicking back and letting things be, and letting women have the more legal stance over the children is not in line with the status quo. And I think that's the government's task, is really to keep society in line with the status quo.
Okay. Aileen Hickey is the CEO of Parentline. Aileen is with us on the line as well. Is this something that you have come across, Aileen?
It is. I'm going to start off on a few points, actually, Andrea. So, first of all, we've seen that, and I can give you stats, that fathers, first of all, are much more keen to share in the parenting of their child and more equal parenting than ever before. So, 30 years ago, Parentline, it was the odd call we got from a dad in relation to an issue with their child. Or sometimes that odd call was speaking more about how the mother was coping with whatever the issue the child was having, rather than even their own, whatever issue they were having with the child. Last year, 25% of our calls came from dads. So we can see at the coalface that dads are much more involved in the parenting of their children than ever before. So, all those dads that you're speaking with there, they're entirely right. There is a much more of a step up in terms of fathers getting involved with their children. But the other point that I do want to make is, at the end of the day, any provision or right or legal obligation or law that is put in place in relation to children, in relation to fathers and mothers, is all with the forefront of the welfare of the child being the most important factor. And that has to take priority over everything. So everything is done in the best interest and welfare of the child. So in relation to child benefit, there's a couple of issues here. So the child benefit monthly payment is paid to the mother of the child, if the mother is living with the child. So, first of all, it's not brought in as a jolly for either the mother or the father. It's brought in as a payment that is for to pay for the well-being and the rearing of the child, or towards the well-being and the rearing of the child. And actually, if you go back, one of the reasons why it was brought in was kind of to compensate women who stayed out of paid employment.
Well, that's it. There were sort of historical reasons for it, really.
Absolutely. But so there was historical reasons for it. And actually, it also, I suppose, with the assumption that you can't always be assumed that the income, is shared equally within households, or even that the spending in a household is shared equally. So again, it was brought in for a very good reason and has stayed in that status quo for a lot of reasons. Having that said, the child's father can get payment if the child doesn't live with the mother. And I think Aaron or someone referred to that already. But if the child is living with the father, then it is the father that gets the payment. And, it's determined by who is caring for the child. And if the child is living most of the time with the father, that it is also the father that gets paid. So,
it's only if the mother isn't that the case, if the child isn't living with the mother.
If they're both living in the same house, then it does go to the mother. But those are the reasons that it was brought into place.
Yeah. Because, should it change?
It's one of those. Who am I to say whether it should change or not? I mean, yes, dads are getting more involved. But, ultimately, as long as it is being used to, to slightly allay child poverty, which is a huge issue, and to go towards childcare, that is where it is for. It shouldn't matter who it goes to, as long as it goes, it deals with the right reasons for why it serves its purpose, why it was put in there. And, so I don't really think there's a gender bias in that. And I will say, in relation to father's rights, I think needs to be borne in mind that with all rights come responsibilities. So, fathers have, they should have the right to welfare and custody and guardianship and all the rest of it. But also, have to remember that dads also have responsibilities such as financial support and medical care and all the rest of it in relation to their children. So, again, I just think that what needs to be remembered here is everything should be in the best interest and welfare of the child. And, again, whether parents are separated or divorced, as long as there's healthy co-parenting, that it brings positive benefits to the child.
Couple of the interesting texts in on this. Now, this listener says, my husband drops our daughter off to preschool every day, and yet I had to ask for him to be added in to the general WhatsApp group. Another listener says, my husband does the majority of the admin in our house. He works part-time while I work full-time, and our children's creche will constantly ring me even if there's ever something wrong, even though we have said numerous times to call him. I'm the one who gets the call. And finally, people have too much to say when it comes to other people's lives. I brought my daughter to buy her communion dress and was asked, where is Mum today? Well, Mum works long shifts as a nurse and I do the majority of the household chores. I happily might add and replied to the shopkeeper, says this texter. Mark is with us on the line in Newbridge. Mark, I believe you've two sons. Have you experienced this?
Yeah, I've experienced it a lot. And I think it's a bit archaic, to be honest with you, to have a law that says, one particular parent is you know, the kind of at the forefront or the better parent, you know, than the other parent. I mean, like, there shouldn't be a law that says, by the way, a mother has guardianship, has access, you know, she's the go-to, basically. You know, a lot of things in Ireland have happened because of this. I mean, it's caused a lot of problems with families where women, and look, there's always fabulous women out there, great mothers, but they can't use it to their benefit a lot in relation to, you know, relationship with men as well, you know what I mean, to control them and stuff like that. Regardless to a benefit, again, like your listeners have said, it should not matter if you're a woman or if you're a man. It's a parent. You're a parent. You should be treated as an equal. That law should not be there. It wouldn't be there for anything else. You know, equality is equality across the board.
Okay,
you know?
So it shouldn't just necessarily always reply to the mother in your view. Aaron, do you think finally this might change? Were you surprised by the reaction to this?
I was very surprised by the reactions, and I'm very happy that we're having this conversation live. I'm sure that a lot of people have similar experiences when we start talking about the issue. We cannot change a problem until we start talking about it. So definitely, I'm very hopeful. Let's keep talking about it. And for those people who are still making jokes on, where's mommy? Or like, oh, are you wearing the dress tonight? Or are you babysitting? I just have one message for all those people, that those jokes stopped being funny around 83. So let's stop those jokes, and let's empower fathers who want to stick up for their wives, for their partners, and to take bigger share in the family life, yeah, and the life of their children.
You'd be surprised, Aaron, at the number of messages, you know, like that, in that vein, that have come in here today on WhatsApp. Just people's experience, you know, the kind of things, I suppose, that have been said to them. Aaron, thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live. That's Mick, Aileen Hickey, the CEO of Parentline, Jason and Mark there as well. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.